Welcome to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast, where we talk about life because it happens to everyone, along with some great indie musicians' Q&A sessions. So come aboard, kick back, and let's vibe.
We're going to welcome my good friend to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast, Miss Lisa Kelly. How are you?
Doing well. I'm in sunny Florida, state of free state.
And I'm in sunny communist California, the state of we run you and shut up.
Sorry.
I don't want to get too political, but you know how we talk. But I just wanted to, I want the show to be about you and your music and, you know, your part of the world without the politics, because
right on.
That's one of the reasons why I started this podcast, to get away from politics. Politics is like a disease that never heals.
All consume you.
I know. And I need something therapeutic, like talking to real people about real life. So this is therapeutic for me and my guests.
Thanks for having me back. It's been a while.
Maybe. Yeah. We've been Facebook friends since I don't know when.
Forever.
Since maybe the first Obama term or something. I met a lot of people.
2008, something like that.
Yeah, way before they shadow banned me and stuff. And now my name is Mud on the IP address. But who cares?
That's supposedly an earned.
Yeah. That's a badge of honor. That means I was over the target. Had to remove me from their playground because I wasn't complying. But I'm here, you know. I'm here in good spirits, and the music plays on.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I think I got this Zoom for about 40 minutes because I don't have the extended version, but we had to get into the crunch of it. And I heard that song. The song is great. I'm gonna play it later.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's nice.
My patriotic one, or the nearness of you. I sent you a few.
The one in the Dropbox. It had two of them.
Oh.
It was the one about.
Okay.
I forgot the name of it. I got it down here somewhere.
But yeah, one is called Annette's Desire, and that's one that JB wrote, my husband, and my middle name is Annette. So that was the song he wrote for me. And then the other one is my patriotic song.
Yeah, the patriotic one, that's one.
Arranged into big band. Both of them were.
Yeah, that's a good one. We'll play that one later on before we go. But so tell us about Lisa Kelly. Where did you start in music? Why you started music, and why jazz?
I'm hard-headed.
Aren't we all?
I like a challenge, and I like a challenge. I was surrounded by music. I'm in my vocal studio now, and I'm looking at pictures of my parents to my grandparents.
Oh, okay.
My grandmother played sax in an all-girls big band.
Wow.
back in the day during the war when all the men went to war. There were big bands that were made up of women that played. And then when the men got back, they said, scoot over, honey, and get out of the chair, literally. And then my grandfather, I have a picture of him when he was 4 years old, and he sang in a little boys choir in the front page.
Well, you got music all in your genes.
Yeah. My dad played in the Harmonic Cats, which is a very legendary harmonica group. And my mother sang opera, so I was rather eclectic.
Uh-huh.
And I started out singing in a duo. Then I went to a corporate gig. I did the normal cycle of things, going up the ladder, getting gigs. And although I espoused to being a surgeon, a heart surgeon, and in general into medicine, my calling was music, apparently, because I, ever since like middle school, was singing in front of folks. And
It felt normal?
Felt normal. I loved it. And I just felt like I was doing something that fit.
Yeah.
And that made others feel good. So really, that's
well,
makes
you
me
go.
Feel good. Makes them feel good. That's
You're still a heart surgeon, just musically. You make their heart feel
good. Point.
Yeah, you charm their heart, and you give
there
them good.
You go.
A good vibe.
without all the bills to go to school for.
Yeah, and they don't have to go to sleep before you to mess with their heart.
For real.
Yep. So music, you don't play any instruments, you just sing, just vocals?
Well, I did earn a bachelor's and a master's degree, and part of my degree seeking was jazz writing and arranging and composition. Mm-hmm. And so I some of my Downbeat awards were for best composition and best arrangement, and my first one my first song written in college with about my kids called My Legacy was my first Downbeat Award. And then eight Downbeat Awards later was the one you heard.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I made the most out of college and a part of that. And now when I teach voice and I do jazz clinics, everything is based on piano. So I really make sure my vocal students, and I taught middle school, high school, and interim college. And so
music
theory and formal music theory classes that I taught in choir and voice. So really, I focus on individual solo aspect voice because as jazz singers,
right,
that's what we concentrate on. We're not a choir. We're individuals, soloist kind of thing. So, but I do part of the vocal lessons is learning theory and playing some basic piano. So you can teach yourself a song or you can write your song, and which instills broader broader vocabulary, broader sense of creativity, and you're self-reliant. You're not reliant on, right. I must hire a pianist to write my charts. I can write my own charts. So,
there you go. So it's crazy because, you know, I probably written over 100 songs. I don't know no theory or nothing. I just, I'm from New Orleans, music. I just hear.
Musicians came before formal studies, you know.
Right. I just hear, and if it musically sounds like it go together, and that's how I work from the
I'd
audio.
I'd rather have an ear than be able to read music strongly, but not have an ability to be flexible within the conversation of the music. The ear is the better choice.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I bet you, if you sat down and look, I bet you can write. You know some basic theory. I bet you do. You just don't know that you do.
I had the only music I came close to actually doing music like you're supposed to when I was in the eighth grade. I had a piano class, and we had did a little recital, like a duet and stuff. And after the eighth grade, I never touched the piano before I forgot all that stuff. It just,
you know, you could clep a class at the college, at the local college. You could clep classes for your own enjoyment, and you don't have to worry about a grade. See, that's low pressure.
I don't know. I don't have no desire to be. I mean, because I could just make a beat, and I can my friend is a keyboard player. I got a guitar player. So
you're doing your thing.
Yeah,
you're doing.
I'm mainly about the message anyway. You know, the message I'm putting out. Yeah,
you know what. We're messengers,
right?
If it's an instrument or if it's the lyric, which is so important, the text, that's what vocalists are. We're messengers. So it's important for all of the foundation of the music itself. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, if you don't know how to convey the message, if you don't know how to take the lyric and convey that, we're vocal song stylists. That's what I teach my singers how to do.
It's not like a hairstylist. I'm a vocal song
stylist.
It's about
the message.
Yes. What are you trying to tell the listener?
Exactly. And connect with them.
Yeah. So that's how I do it. I just go by ear, get my message out. The music just happened to be the platform to get it to the ear.
There you go.
I don't know how it started, but I always have this stuff on my heart and my mind, and I figure we get to rhyme this up and put it on something where it can last beyond myself.
Were you around music coming up?
Well, in New Orleans, you know, jazz, blues, and
there you have it.
Every day music
was
everywhere.
Some of that soaks in. It's just natural in your DNA, natural in your sensibility and your logic. My son grew up to be a drummer. I never pushed him that way. He ended up serving in the Marine Corps, playing drums. He was an all-state drummer. He went to Cincy Ellington. He was on a video where they won the competition. He was the best drummer, and he came back home, and he's got a nonprofit that he helps veterans getting off the street, getting their lives back together.
Good deal.
But he still plays. He plays, you know, professionally with me. So a lot of that was just I just watched him. I just stood by, hands off, and just let him grow. Just like a little tree, just like, you know.
And he
took off.
You never put him in like a drummer class or nothing?
When I noticed that he had I bought him I still have his first little drum set.
Oh, my God. The little small one.
I'm saving it for my grandson because he's 2.5, and he's already got a little drum cart. And I pulled out some of Jeremy's older drums, his snare and his tom-tom and all that. And I'm going to get him into that. But, I just watched him grow. And as I saw there was a natural ability and a natural desire, then I enrolled him in the middle school of the arts, and he earned his way up into the high school of the arts, and then signed up for the Marines, and it took him places. So,
you say he played the drums in the Marine, in the Band Corps?
He was in the United States Marine Corps Band in New Orleans, of all places. he would start out on the big drum. He would start out the and all of the parades. They were at the front end of the parades. But he did some touring around the country for Toys for Tots.
Oh, yeah.
And played on Fox with did the whole band start on Fox TV where they played. And I think they were playing something with Wynton Marsalis. So he was on there with him. And then he played with Ellis Marsalis, the father.
Oh, in New serious Orleans. Dude, yeah.
Yeah, so he's done quite a bit of stuff. So before he was done, he had my husband and I, who plays trumpet, come over to New Orleans, and we actually did a day or two of clinic with the band, the Marine band there. And then we played in a club together. We did a gig in the club. So he kind of paid us back by bringing it back full circle, because he watched how we would go out in clinic.
Yeah,
because JB directs the top jazz program, the top band at UNF, University of North Florida, where I got my degree, where he was the first graduate. So it's all kind of comes back around full circle, in other words. And he watched us. We mentored him, and then he came back by bringing us over to do the same thing there, giving us an opportunity to something I would never have had a chance to do with that band.
That's cool.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, just music all over through the house. Just music. Everything music around there.
Yeah, so you can study, but if you ultimately don't know how to put it together and create expression and convey the message and write the message
and then
interpret it, then, that's the important part. Everybody has their road on their journey to get where they're going and how they're going to get there.
Right.
Your road, mine was mine, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out my road. I just keep walking.
And that's it.
Guide my feet, God.
If you ever figure it out, then
I'll write a book about it.
Then you're done.
I'll write a song about it. I figured it out, and then it's over.
The journey's the fun part, right?
Yeah. The plight.
It is.
Yep. So with you and JB, were you guys married forever, ever? Or you met in school or on the road banding?
I was a divorcee, and I had three children, and I was getting my college degree at UNF, and he was out on the road with the Dorsey bands, and he went and got his master's downstate. I didn't know him at the time. Mm-hmm. And then he did a tour with the Ringling Brothers Circus in Japan. We've been all over the world with our music. And before we met, and then afterwards, and he came back to UNF my last 2 years of my undergrad, and actually came back to step in to direct the band there ultimately. And so our first gig together was at the Montreux Jazz Festival in Switzerland, where my former trumpet player was the band director, and he had moved on, and JB was coming in to fill that position. And I took my quintet, and actually the UNF band also went another year. And so that's how we met. But we were first musical compatriots, if you will, colleagues. He was my professor, and then he played in my group. I was an older student, if you will. I came already having some music experience, and then wanted to generate a vocal aspect. So I, as a professional, I had come in, and I wanted to not only better my skills, take them up a notch, if you will. I wanted to broaden my outreach into the broader jazz community besides the region where I had made a really good name. And I did six tours, if you will, over in Europe as a result of going to college. And then since then it's generated into Canada. We did our honeymoon as a musical tour in Canada. And then our 10-year anniversary, we went back and did the same thing. We actually did gigs and earned money.
Yeah. That's smart. Oh, and you had fun. And you're doing what you love, you know? That's great.
So
not too many people can say that.
21 years.
Okay. You got a couple of years less than me. I think we got about 25, my wife and I. Okay. I stopped counting after a while. I was like, we're here forever, so who's counting? Okay. just glad to see you next to me every day.
That's it. And what's the next gig, honey?
Yeah, that's what you guys say. What's the next gig? Where are we going? Looking forward to it.
What's cool is we book these things. We do them together, but they're kind of paid vacations, too.
Yeah.
And you can double the income into the household. So it's a really good working situation.
Man. And it's a business move, so you can write them off all the trip.
Absolutely. And we do duo stuff with tracks to a quintet, sextet, to a New Orleans group We have a full blown 7-piece New Orleans Chicago swing style group. Yeah. He led the Dukes of Dixieland in New Orleans for 3 or 4 years. So he really, really knew the style. Yeah. And then we also have a 10-piece and a full 18-piece big band.
Jeez.
And we've been featured with a number of other bands, including Larry Elgart, who was legendary Lesson Larry Elgart. Last of the original big band directors of the big band heyday.
Yeah.
He retired down. He was lived in Florida. He passed away at 96, but he down in South Florida, Longboat Key, but he played till maybe the last 3 years of his life. And, you know, the trick to that is to book an outstanding big band and then you just kind of plug yourself in.
Okay.
So bop till you drop, you know, so we've done those kinds of things. And, we got a big festival coming up. We've done some festivals where we've gone and adjudicated middle school, high school big bands for a day or two.
Uh-huh.
And then we end up performing. And so we have a lot of mentoring festivals and performance festivals. And we run a jazz camp. And
jeez.
You wear many hats.
That's
beautiful music.
Playing it forward for the next generation of jazz artists and musicians.
That's important.
That's part of your legacy. You know, you
the music going by training the next generation.
You'll be mentioning their notes. Yeah, thanks to JP and Lisa Kelly. And
quite of a few them, credits.
Yeah.
But we let them know, though, we're not finished yet. So when you get up and you're ready to play, now you're going to compete with us. That means we have to keep our chops up, too.
Yep. They're coming after you. Take the title.
Yes, they do.
Stay strong.
Yeah.
Yep. So, hey. The song, before we run out of time, what's the song? What's the message behind that song? And
it's about shedding all the labels, mm-hmm. shedding all the political party labels like football teams.
Yeah.
It's about what are we first and foremost, fellow Americans, with a lot more in common than we realize. And if we were to shed those labels and sat down and talk values and principles and how we were raised, what we want to leave our children and our grandchildren, that legacy, what we want to protect, mm-hmm. what was passed on to us, just like jazz, we're going to pass on to the next generation. What is that going to be? You know, and we were handed the best country ever in the history of mankind. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're going to leave our kids? Well, it's up to us to protect that. Republic, if you can keep it, that's us.
Oh yeah.
So the song is about now's the time to realize this. And all of us need to ask ourselves that question. And what are we willing to do to protect it, defend it, and pass it on to our kids?
Uh-huh.
And also to stand and not only defend our country and our freedoms and those rights, but to also thank those who stand on the front line. And so the song references, we're going to play it at the Jacksonville Jazz Festival, the Memorial Day weekend. And that's all about, you know, remembering those that were in the armed forces. And so I referenced air, land and sea, you know, those folks that served us. So military, my family dates back to pre-American Revolution skirmishes in North Carolina and just about every war since I've had folks serve in, you know, to protect our freedoms. So it's our responsibility to keep up with that and respect what we were handed and pass it on and protect it in the same way. So the song is really about that. All of us need to do that.
Okay, I'm going to pull it up.
It was actually arranged by a retired staff arranger, Eric uh-huh. Richards, of Army Field Band. And when he heard that I wrote a patriotic song, he said, I put down everything and I wrote this arrangement. And that's saying a lot because this man has got like 10 years booked out at least of projects from people. But he wrote it and we performed it at a major convention, music convention. Mm-hmm. And it was in tribute to not only the military armed forces, but it to my son as well, because he was serving at the time. It was a commissioned piece. So.
Did you know that over 92% of people in the United States are deficient in one or more vitamins or minerals? Unfortunately, the foods we eat just don't have enough of the vitamins and minerals our bodies need to maximize our immune systems, strengthen our organs, and help our bodies perform at their best. It's also the reason why so many people get sick. In fact, over 80% of patients who got COVID-19 were deficient in vitamin D. and up to 82% critically ill patients are deficient in vitamin C. The fact is, we need supplements. And now, for the first time ever, you can get the highest quality, most complete supplements on the market for prices that anyone can afford. With Live Good, you can afford to be healthy. Check out joinnatenow.com. Check out the 6-minute video. Leave a good name and email, and we'll get with you with more information. Have a great day.
Right. Well, let's get into it. It's called I Choose to Stand for Freedom. Right?
All right.
Let's play that one.
A time when everyone must choose. It's on the line what means the most to you. Inside of me, I know what I must do. I choose to stand for freedom. How about you? We've come so far, a nation never seen. A freedom won by those who dared to dream. A vision shared, passed on to you and me. I choose to stand for freedom. How about you? Will you stand up for your children, fight for their destiny? And will you proudly wave the American flag for all the world to see? And like the patriots before, American warriors, land, air, and sea. Now is the time for all of us to choose. Silent no more, there's just too much to lose. Hand over heart, we'll pledge to see it through. I choose to stand for freedom. How about you?
recorded exclusively on Nathaniel Noble Jr. Podcast.
Wow. Awesome, awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. Was that JB on the horn?
It was. It was his college band, and he was playing trumpet. Yep. And what we want to do is after we're doing the final tweaking of the mixing of it to master it, and then we're also going to remove the tracks, trumpet and voice, so we have it to perform live with.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. That's awesome. I like that song.
Thank you.
I like American songs, to keep the American spirit is still alive, to remind people, about greatness, for as the country and the people of it.
And that's what that song's meant to do.
Yeah.
It's neutral. It's non-political.
Just patriotic.
Patriotic.
This is where we at. This is where we live. We should love it and take care of it.
Flick your Bic,
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, now they're doing it with the phone flashlights.
It's a flick your phone.
Yep, that's awesome. When are you gonna release?
Thank you for sharing it.
When are you gonna release that one for us? Where we can download it
within the next couple of months.
Okay,
that's all I know.
My
first and foremost is to get those tracks, get it final,
right,
mastered, and then get the tracks done because I want to use it to perform
right
live with when I don't have the whole big band with us.
Right, you guys gonna use it as release it as a single, or is it gonna be the part of an album or a collection?
Well, it actually, I believe, is going on a UNF project.
Okay.
Of the whole big band.
Yeah.
And both the tunes I sent you, because as an alumni, being a professor and an alumni, it'll feature the UNF connection in that regard.
Okay.
So I believe it'll go out on one of the college, the next college. Band. And that's his college band. And that's right out of the whole last 2 years we had where they really didn't get a chance to meet.
Right.
And then they recorded those tracks. So
a lot of beautiful music came out of the last 2 years when all that other crap.
A lot of heart came out of the last two
years. People were soul searching and like, hey. And then because I put out a song called Protect Your Mind. I don't know if you heard it. I'll send it to you later. But it was one of those songs. Then I had, but when the pandemic started, I wrote one called What's Going On? It's like the question, like, what's going on?
Right.
Collaborated with some of my cousins and brothers and, just one of those songs, the question, like, hey, what's going on?
Yes.
Stop lying.
Uh-huh.
So, just a lot of songs came out of the last 2 years.
Yes, definitely. And we musicians found a way.
Oh, yeah.
The Jazz Festival didn't happen the year before last, for instance. So a radio station here in town that used to host it, WJCT, they got they signed a few of us up for a whole day's worth of time slots, and we did a jazz festival on the air, streaming from our living rooms.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of people was collaborating over the like Zooms or different platforms, but in different states and cities, and it was just jam sessions all over.
And so put a tip jar up. Some people did that.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
The way we do like a 3-hour program of music tracks, half of them are, we went into a studio a couple times and recorded our rhythm section, piano, bass, drums, and made our own tracks. And I downloaded some big band and stuff. We were playing retirement communities the second half of the year as things were coming out. They'd place us in a room opposite or outside, and they'd be spaced away from us.
Right.
Music is so restorative, and it was fundamental and foundational to a lot of retirement communities. And Florida, we've got a bunch.
Yeah,
people being able to feel they were connected with the rest of the world.
Yeah,
and so music, So we could get live bookings again, that's what we were doing.
Well, I noticed all through history, when whatever's disaster's going on, it's like certain songs that get you through that. Those time periods in the history. You can always remember when you go back in time, like, oh, yeah, I remember this song when we was going through this or that.
Yes.
And, it helped me get through.
They're written about personal experience.
Yeah.
And most often experiences we've all shared or have had ourselves. Mm-hmm. The most written about subject is love. So, that's timeless.
Yeah.
To everybody.
Need more songs of love, peace, and harmony.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
We got about 6 minutes left on this Zoom because they're kicking me off. they keeping me within my time zone. Because we can talk, you know, and the hours have passed. It's like, yeah, we've been on this for hours. Yeah. It don't take long. But look, where could they find your music? I'm going to leave your website in the notes and stuff, but you can tell them.
Absolutely. My website is kellyscottmusic.com. Mm-hmm. And that's K-E-L-L-Y, scottmusic.com. And it's got bios, pictures, write-ups, customer comments, educational page, CDs for purchase, and the listening samples, song samples.
Yeah,
we do private parties to concerts to clinics to jazz festivals to cruises.
It also has a calendar on there, right? When you guys perform.
A performance calendar, yeah. Yes. I just booked a gig while you and I were sitting here.
I'm not mad at you.
So I'm already booking a little Christmas tour in December, and I've got a whole bunch of people are hungry for live.
Yes, live.
And music and restorativeness in their life. And so I'm already booking into Christmas and beyond.
You already know what you have to do.
Well,
sing them happy. You're the surgeon. Go sing their hearts happy.
Love through music.
Yeah. And that's the kind of people you want doing music. People that actually love it. You know, that's their gift,
that's what
talent.
People like. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't care if you missed a note or you missed a word. What they care about is if you come from a place, sing for someone you love, then no matter who you're singing to and how big or small the crowd is, it's that spiritual, if you will,
yeah,
connect and metaphysical connection to them. It's and magical. They know you're sincere. They know you're sincere and you're gifting to them. You kind of take them out of, you know, whatever drag place they're in life and you just share a little love with them. And that's very important. And to see people smile and even move them to tears in whatever memories that song might have connected with. Whatever the case.
It's powerful.
They say thank you. That's the most powerful thing you can do. Absolutely. When you can touch someone heart to heart. Really. And it's just as important to us as it is to the listener.
So any advice you can give to any young upcoming musician, jazz singer?
Listen, look at YouTube. mentor in your community with someone who's a true jazz musician on your instrument and get some piano chops, some foundational piano under your hands so that you can be self-contained as a vocalist because you're going to have to build a repertoire that contains all the songs that you sing in a book of lead sheets. And they're going to need to be in the key that you sing them in. Huh. And you have to find out all that and go to a jazz camp. Look for jazz camps to go to or see if you can't clep some college classes. But go out and listen to the music, watch how they engage with the audience, take notes of the songs they sing, the material, and learn those songs. And it's just about doing the homework. Uh-huh. It's about information and study with a true jazz vocalist to pick up the nuance, the stylistic interpretation, the history, what songs to sing and how to deliver them. You know, you listen to Sarah and Ella and Louie and whomever. It's not just their signature sound, mm-hmm. but it's how they delivered that song, that style that they had, that people will immediately, you know, connect with and recognize. And you want to be unique to yourself, but you have to gather all those people together and put them in your little box and then mix them up and know that heritage. So
that's a lot. All right. This is Lisa Kelly Scott, y'all, all the way from Florida, coast to coast, the Freedom Coast to the Encampment Coast. That's where I'm at, the Encampment Coast. But I don't want to get started on that, but you know what I'm saying.
Well,
anyway,
there are pockets and you've got one there.
Yeah, like, I got a pocket right in my room. This is
there you go. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks. I want to thanks for taking time out for the show and giving your story and playing that lovely song and just the wisdom and you got all those years packed in these words, so it's like, you know, it's just powerful.
Thank you.
I think that's it. You know, we got in 30 minutes of a good talking, and
all right,
I'll let you know when we post it and stuff, and just good luck with the rest of the year and your bookings. And tell JP hi. Maybe we can interview him at a later date or something, because I'm sure he got another story.
Oh, he has stories.
Yeah.
Some of them he can share.
Yeah. Yeah, we want the good ones.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for all you do, because not only your music and your art, but what you're doing here, sharing other people's stories.
Oh, yeah. Those people's stories move me, so I think I can share it and then move other people, because I like the real stories, you know. Mm-hmm. And everybody has a story.
Everybody has a story.
So I never run out of guests. Everybody have a story.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. A lot of people don't get a chance to share their story.
Right.
And thank you for giving that platform.
Yes. I'm a platform guy now.
You're a platform guy.
Cool. So, yeah, we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank you for coming on the Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast. And we'll talk to you soon. Miss Lisa Kelly Scott. Let's give it up for her.
Stay safe out there.
All right.
Hi. This is jazz vocalist Lisa Kelly, and you're listening to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast. Be sure to check me out at www.kellyscottmusic.com.
Thanks for listening to the Nathaniel Noble Jr. podcast. If you've enjoyed our show, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. We appreciate every one of you.